Blog Talk Radio.
Show here on blogtalkradio.com. It is Tuesday, as we always do it on Tuesdays, March 7th of 2017, broadcasting live here from DFW Metroplex area of the great state of Texas. Here we go. I'm your host, Mike Henderson, and my wonderful co-hosts, Crystal Senegal and Vanessa Accenture McCarroll, will be chiming in a little bit later. So tonight's topic is Trump supporters. It's actually based upon the last episode that we did last week, where we had talked about, do Black Lives Still Matter? And it kind of sponges off that as well, though. So is my Trump supporters help me understand? And after the last show, we decided to open up a dialogue with supporters of our 45th president. I'm really not trying to, like, get into that as well. Like, 45th president, I'm trying to be cool with that. I really am. But, you know, our 45th president, to get a better understanding of why they support him, you know, why they voted for him, what's up with the value system and all that other fun stuff, too. So I'm like, it's just amazingly, I'm amazingly crazy. So I'm just like, okay. So I'm just kind of wondering, what the deal is with all of that, though, to be totally honest. So we're going to pretty much, like, look into that as well to see, exactly, like, why why they support him, why they are in the corner with our, with the president, so to speak. For the most part, I'm gonna try to get a better understanding of a little later anyway, so. Here we go. So, I am really losing it here in a lot of ways. It's been a very long week. It truly has, though, and a lot of things have actually gone down with that as well. So, not to lose it too much when it comes to that as well, though. The idea of, like, truly trying to make some things happen. Wait a minute, just a moment. What in the world? Okay, that's what I want to do. All right, I'm multitasking over here, folks, so, bear with me. When it comes to that, oh, here we go. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, hey, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. Thank you.
How you doing? Everything okay?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Well, I for one am actually getting over being kind of like down this past weekend, the weekend of my birthday.
Wow! Happy belated birthday!
Thank you. I'm a happy, well-to-do 53 now.
Wow. Blessing, definitely.
Yeah, exactly. Though. You're only as old as you feel, and I'm like, okay, cool. But so far, so good, as far as that goes. So. I was kind of like really under the weather for my birthday, though, so I really didn't get a chance to really do a whole lot. I really didn't know, even though like I got like tons of birthday wishes and gifts from family members, but for the most part, I was pretty much down. It was really like crazy.
That could be right.
You're the other person.
Hey, what's going on? I'm sorry.
Hey, Vanessa.
Vanessa, how are you guys doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah.
So I spent my birthday weekend kind of like, you know, like a, you know, not necessarily, I wouldn't say bedridden. I was just under the weather. But it was like one of those little deals to where, like, inside of 72 hours, though, you can pretty much call it quits, though. So, like, you know, so after all of that, you know, I was, like, medicated for, you know, for 3 or 4 days. You know, actually 3 days. And then, like, I popped up, and now all of a sudden, like, here it is, like, Tuesday, and it's all but gone. You know, no coughing, no congestion, not a whole lot of congestion as well, though. And it seemed like I was just kind of going through the last few death throes of everything else as well. So now here we are. So I'm better. I feel good, though. I actually enjoyed my birthday anyway, though. It was more relaxing than I thought it was. And hey, I still made out like a fat rat anyway. That's the way it should be. Especially in your 50s, though, you should collect everything. And I'm still waiting for at least 2 chocolate cakes to show up. So.
You want a chocolate cake? Is that what you want?
Yep. Yeah, chocolate cake.
Is it too late to send you a birthday cake?
Nope. It's never too late for Kate. Never too late. And I also decided, like, you know, since things didn't go well for birthday weekend, I'm going to go ahead and just take the rest of the month.
Okay, you know, well deserved. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm taking the rest of the month. The rest of the month is mine, and I'm just going to, you know, just in big size. Because, you know, I did well with Christmas and holidays and everybody else's birthday. Now my birthday rolls around, though, and I also have a list of things I'm going to actually knock off said list before it's over, before the month is out. So, So I have a new camera coming. I have a new iPhone coming. I have a new pair of roller skates coming.
Wow.
And somewhere along the line, though, I probably like might even squeeze in some personal appearances. I don't know yet.
But for the most part, that's it as well, though.
And I want the chocolate cakes to keep coming.
Okay. Any particular type of chocolate cake or just any type of cake? As long as it's chocolate.
So how was your birthday? So you had a good birthday?
Yeah, I did, despite being sick. It was pretty good, though, because, like, you know, friends and family, like, you know, gave best wishes and a few gifts as well, though. And for the most part, I just pretty much just relaxed and chilled, though. I really didn't have a choice. I was kind of down. But, I mean, I'm really recovering. I'm still up and about as well, though. You know, I had my second day in the gym, which was pretty good as well, too. So after that, I'm cool. But I'm still accepting. Yeah, but like I said, like since the weekend was kind of bad because I was sick, I'm taking the rest of the month.
So for the rest of the month, I'm
still accepting gifts and cards and whatever.
Okay, I like that.
Are you still accepting happy birthdays? Is the question.
Yeah, I'm still expecting happy birthdays, too, like that. Oh, that never goes out of style. So, like, still expecting a happy birthday. You're still with me, belated birthday, that's fine, too. But if you just really feel the need to go in and actually find a chocolate cake, by all means, drop it off.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Because I got plenty of milk at the house, so.
You like chocolate cake?
Yeah, according to Bill Cosby, that's nutrition. So.
Well, we know Bill Cosby likes to sip, you know, dip a little something in his chocolate cake.
Be nice. I almost had to stop that. We're not going to mess with Bill, though. His eyesight is failing. So we're not going to do that. So on to the matter at hand. But there are some new developments on the horizon. I won't get into them as of yet, though, like until we get like some further clarity, though. But there are some big things actually happening here in the Henderson camp. So at a later date, I'll actually like go in and release, you know, at least that bit of information, though. But trust me, it is.
You have to give us some type of update.
You got to do what now?
You have to give us some type of update.
I'll give updates as soon as, you know, as soon as they become available, and you'll have it as well, though. So, now to the matter at hand. Trump supporters help me understand. Yeah, here we go. Trump supporters help me understand. Because I definitely need some understanding now, that especially in light of recent events. Because I am truly trying to understand exactly what the hell is going on in the White House. It has pretty much been 45 days since the start of the Trump administration, and already it is absolute chaos. Now, some people want to say it's actually fake news, and they're just trumping everything up as well, so to speak, just actually like charging everything up and making it seem like it's more than it actually is. But with everything else that's actually going on in the world, though, the escalated fighting in the Middle East, the pipeline issue that we have here in the States, so not to mention like the growing fear of for immigrants and people of different nationalities alike. Apparently, Donald Trump thinks that the Obama administration bugged Trump Tower and had made it known and sadly enough, he's walked back a few of his campaign promises. He's actually signed a new Muslim ban that just came down the pike, and it's still looking more and more and more like he is just as unstable as anybody could possibly be. And now what I'm trying to understand, and what I'm trying to actually get like some people to understand when it comes to this, is like, if this is supposedly the best we could have done during a presidential election, why do you have that kind of support for somebody like that? Because I'm quite sure, though, and I'm just holding to this, though, I'm quite sure that had Obama even came close to the idea of tweeting at any time during his 80 years, there would have been issues as well as consequences.
Well, you know that. I don't even know why you brought that up.
Well, exactly. I brought it up to make a point, though. It seems more and more to me that apparently, depending on who it is that's actually sitting at the top of the system, exactly whoever it is that actually ultimately wins the White House, that actually lets you know exactly who gets to do what. You know, it's questionable on one side of the issue, but it's never a question on the other side of the issue, though.
Come on, Michael. This is what we discuss this all the time, and we know that it's always going to be, let's just be real frank and blunt about it. It's because this is a black man that was in office. Nobody wants to see. They didn't want to see him succeed. So it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, we know that it was because he was black. That's it. So there ain't nothing else we can say about that.
Exactly.
That's just what it is. And people can deny it all day long, but they're bullshitting themselves. We all know that. We're not making it a racial deal. We're making it is what it is because he was black. Had he been a white man, oh, my God, everything would have been grand. We're going to try to work together. As soon as he got in the office, they said, we are not going to pass anything that this man put forth at all. That was in his first term when he got inaugurated, they said that, during the inauguration.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, so they're going to make him a first-term president.
I mean,
they were going to actually deal with anything when it came to any legislation he went down. Now they're going to block everything he has coming down the pike as well, though.
Exactly.
And they're trying to put him under the guise of being unconstitutional when it was more about the idea of actually you just doing it for the sure hell of it.
I mean, people can sit up there and say we're playing a race card, but we're not playing a race card. You're playing the race card.
Exactly.
If people just own up to who they are, you're just a racist, own it, and we can move forward. If we can do that,
nobody wants to wind up actually getting it as well, though, for the simple fact is, though, you feel like, but if you're playing that game like a racist, how do you think people are going to see you? Probably as a racist.
Because people don't want to claim it. People don't want to say, I'm not a racist. because I have black friends. I'm not a racist. Well, you know, and to make a statement that we've had race issues because of Obama. No, we have race issues because you feel a certain way because a black man is in office. That's it, period. Because had he been a white man, you wouldn't have had no issues with it. You would have found something, Benghazi and all that. Issues wouldn't be so, underlining, Vanessa? I don't know.
Yeah, underlining. Yeah, it wouldn't mean anything underlining. You know, it wouldn't be like, you know, the idea of you thinking that, you know, okay, well, so I got black friends, so that also makes you to the past. No, it doesn't. Once again, now we're back to the holding. If you could hold a can of spray paint, that automatically makes you a graffiti artist? No. But if you start spraying the crap around all of it, that makes you a vandal. but nobody wants to wonder about you like dealing with the world. And I'm still trying to
you
say
don't
the
have
thing,
no
like, callers.
No, I
want
to talk to the black Trump supporters. Where are they?
Yeah. Where the black Trump supporters as well, though. But you'd be surprised how much support is actually falling away from the man now. But the simple fact is, every time he turns the corner and every time he does something, though, that's it. I still want to know exactly why there were blacks for Trump, why were there Hispanics for Trump, why there were the individuals, you know, why the evangelicals wanted to vote for Trump, though. I kind of send it to this. It's like the idea, you're thinking just because he's a billionaire, and someone on the line knows that that's going to wind up trickling down to you. It doesn't work. It doesn't mean realistically jail as well, though. Just because you got a friend that's a millionaire doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be one, unless he's going to actually hand you one of his millions. That's the only way, though. And I really don't see Trump or anybody in his little entourage even thinking that way. They don't. They'll still keep the people that wealthy and well-to-do, and they'll still keep everybody else where they are. And I don't see any change with that, though. He's not going to bring any change with anything as well, though. Most of the changes he's already talking about, though, were well in place before he even got elected. So, I like I said, I'm still trying to see if anybody can actually call in and make me understand why. why are we here? Why are we here right now at this particular point? Why are we here at this point right now, though, where you actually literally have an unstable White House with an unstable president at the helm? Why is that? Why is it? You know, he's not a leader. He's he's a reality show star. This man was more worried about his numbers and his inauguration than the job he needed to do. More concerned about how he looked in the public, how he looked at the public. That's about, to me, that's one of the main reasons why he's raising all his hell when it comes to Obama, though, because you're still trying to stay relevant. You're doing anything and everything to actually get everybody's attention, though, because it's buzz, it's new. It's like, you know, it's like a soap opera.
Wait, what are you expecting for his black supporters to say? Like, what do you think is going to be so different if you hear from them? Like, what are you expecting them to explain? Because to me, I don't need an explanation personally. But what do we want them to explain?
No, I want to explain. I just want to hear the reason why you supported him, though. And I don't want to hear, you know, like what I've actually heard from some of his mainstream supporters, though. Like, you know, the idea that, like, you know, he's down to earth, he's like me. Really? You're a billionaire?
But it doesn't look like, and Trump is really not a billionaire. He's not as rich as people think he is. That's why he don't ever show his taxes, number one.
Exactly, because it's the persona that you're looking at as well, though. And, you know, you're caught on the persona with somebody, though, as opposed to the substance behind him as well, though. And then what's going to happen when you find that there's no substance? Then what?
His black supporters just want some type of, you know, attention. They really have no absolute any type of clue of what this man stands for whatsoever and how it benefits them in their lives or black people. So to me,
want to be that
one person that want to stand out and say that I'm different and get some TV time and, you know, just call record for no reason. So to me, it's just complete ignorant to me. So
yeah, exactly. That's right.
I don't really see his black supporters really being genuine and real anyway.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's kind of like when Obama got elected, I mean, there were people out there that were actually expecting us to get an automatic 40 acres and a mule. And it was the dumbest thing you could have been expected in any case as well, though. If we didn't get it when we actually finally got, finally got representation in the government, though, what makes you think we're going to get it, like 50 years after the fact? No, it's not going to happen. And just because you actually have him there as well like that, he's already got a mountain to climb, as opposed to, and then people talk about, well, he didn't do anything for us, though. What was he supposed to do? Kill all the white people and actually have everybody black take over, though? No. You got to be realistic about what you're asking for as well, though. You truly have to be realistic with that as well, though. And this is the closest we've ever came to universal health care in this country's entire inception, period, with the exception of you actually being related to a doctor, or owning a hospital.
Well, untrue. And, of course, I try to stir that up, too, so... he could potentially take away 10 million, people's insurance over
hatred. 10 million people with the insurance, though, because you want to turn around and rebadge Obamacare because you want to that's part of your campaign promise, you want to strike that down for whatever weird-ass reason, though. But 10 million people in the crosshairs are actually losing health care just because you want to turn around and try to strike it down because you didn't particularly like it because it came from somebody you don't like.
Exactly, and I don't know why they call it Obamacare, because that is not, I think they call it Obamacare to make it look like a black thing and from a black man.
It's actually called the Affordable Care Act. That's what it's called.
And
some people didn't even realize.
It's not Obamacare. I mean, I don't know why they keep calling it that, because I'm like, that makes no sense. But they put Obama attached to it because it appears to be negative. So.
It is. That's the whole point. That's the entire idea of even badging it that way as well, though, because that way it looks like you're striking down something that your predecessor did that you don't particularly care for.
Yeah, it's like that's not what it's not called Obamacare. And I hear people say it all the time, and I'm like, it's not called Obamacare.
It's called the Affordable Care Act.
Right.
But you know what's ironic about that, though, Vito? That's the people that don't even know that Obamacare and the Affordable Care Act are the same thing.
I know a lot of people think
but they
that,
put it
that. I watched a lady say that. She was like, I don't have Obamacare. I have the Affordable Health Act. And I'm like, that's the same thing,
you idiot.
Same
thing. Yeah, same thing, lady.
I was like, that's the same identical thing. Like, you sound like so ignorant. But they put Obamacare, they attached his name, merely to make it look like it's Obama's, and it was terrible, and he did these horrible
things. And it was a failure,
exactly. And then you have 20 million people that have insurance now that otherwise would not have had, and including myself. Mm-hmm. And I have some of the best care. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
And it was easy. It was my choice. I picked what I wanted. It's nothing like what people think it is. I mean,
the best thing about it, though, also, is because it was people who had preconditions were able to get insurance. I thought that was the best thing about it. So,
and it really was, I had great options. I had great choice. It was no different than me getting insurance from my job, as far as my health care was, concerned. It was affordable for my budget, and I chose what worked for my budget. You know what I'm saying? And it was no different than me going to get, any other type of insurance. So it's ridiculous how he would want to take that away when it helps so many people.
Because your care is completely
different when you go into a hospital with insurance compared to when you go in without insurance. And doctor would much rather get something over nothing. So why would you want to harm people's care? That's crazy to me.
Because it's all about the idea of who's in control of the deal. Okay. And that's the one thing, I believe the Republicans couldn't stand about the idea about the Affordable Care Act as well, though, because it did undercut some things as well, though. It did kind of change the dynamic when it came to the idea of, whose hands were in whose pockets when it came to health care. But they're so hell-bent on the idea of actually reversing everything as well that actually, they could drag up all the negative connotations of that to where they would rather do nothing as opposed to do something. That's why they didn't have an alternative. That's why they don't actually have a real clear color answer now. And that's why they're really just offering right now a watered-down version of the Affordable Care Act. That's it.
And it's ridiculous. I mean, it's like, this makes no sense. Like, this totally makes no sense.
No, man, none of it makes any sense, though. But you can't make it make sense, though, because they're not trying to. They, like I said, like for the past 8 years during the Obama administration, the Republicans did absolutely, positively, 110% zero. Nothing happened. But every time Obama actually tried to do something as well, though, all of a sudden now they got, now all of a sudden they have jobs.
And
Mitch McConnell himself, though, like a majority leader for the Republicans, said on nationwide TV, we're going to make him a one-term president and we're going to block every bit of legislation he has coming down the pike as well. Did it. Proudly did it. And you know, and people are talking about, well, he didn't do anything for us. So how could you, when they actually make a public appeal letting you know that they're going to stop him at every turn? So once again, I'm just trying to see exactly like, okay, since Trump is supposedly a better alternative to anybody, you know, Clinton and Obama, though, why is it? Why? I mean, because right now, the only thing I've seen right now is a whole lot of Republicans and a whole lot of his supporters having buyer's remorse. I mean, a ton and a half of straight-up buyer's remorse, and I'm trying to see why that's going on. Why is that happening? Why is the deal with that? Okay. So,
and Rick, how many real black people have you actually seen or heard that is just rattling behind him and making the news, and you don't see that. It was a joke when they were doing that. So you don't really.
On social media, there are buzz. There are buzz on social media quickly.
Okay, again, not irrelevant. Like I said, what have you seen? Try again. I mean, irrelevant. I mean, social media. I mean, you hide behind social media. To me, if you hide
behind social media, though, and they're making it known the idea that they're staunch Trump supporters.
Not you.
And they
I'm saying the Trump supporters. If you can't make yourself visible, and you know what I'm saying, and have some kind of relevance to kind of what you're saying, and actually, you know, this is why we feel this way. To me, you're a coward because you hide behind social media because you can't face it. And, you know, it's, you know what I'm saying? It's like I don't see them on the news. I don't see them out and about with their little bumper stickers and T-shirts. I don't see them, you know, but they get on social media and they have so much to say. And you know, it's just that to me, I'm like, okay, you're just ignorant anyway. So you just the only thing that I can hear from you is when you're on social media. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, they don't call into shows. They don't, you know what I'm saying? And how do we really know on social media if they black people? How do I really know that's a black person behind that?
Okay,
I
see your point.
You see what I'm saying?
I see your point with that. I see your point with
that. Stuff on the internet, you know, and so how do I know that these are, you know, these people really feel this way, you know, because I haven't talked to you. They don't call me. You know what I'm saying?
You don't know who it is on there.
Right, you don't know who it is.
And I think sometimes I think those are trolls and they'll pick people's pictures. And I think it's been a lot of hacking. And so they're just taking people's identification.
Profile.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
I believe that. I've noticed that a lot. A lot of times that makes sense.
That's
okay.
Why they
argue. I got to call on the line real quick, though. 404 area code, though. I'm going to open the line up real quick, though, like this is. I'm just going to see who this is, though, okay? Okay, well, here we go. Okay, you're on the air in the Mike Henderson Show. Who am I talking to?
Yeah, this is Naj, man. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Hi, Naj.
All right. Hey to the ladies there, too. Yeah, man, y'all are talking about some interesting things, man.
Hi.
This healthcare bill, I mean, the thing you got to remember is a lot of this is saber rattling and pushing out there and see what the reaction is, and then they'll pull it back and start to tweak it again.
Mm-hmm.
The response hasn't been good, even from people on the right in some circles. But then overall, we got to remember this. For the most part, most people who are progressive thinking like I am, we want single payer. We want actual healthcare, a real healthcare, government healthcare system that most of the industrialized world has, but they've reduced us down to arguing over two conservative health care plans. The ACA came from the Heritage Foundation. Like, that was the best concession Obama could make to them, and they still acted as if he created some government tyranny. It's like, this is your plan. What are you talking about? So right now they're really against, you know, the mandate. They're saying the mandates are the worst thing ever. So they're going to get rid of the mandates, and then they're not going to be able to pay for this plan. They're going to figure out a way to try to make it into a tax break for the, you know, upper and, you know, wealthy classes.
Yeah, that's
you know, typical.
That is on the table already.
Yeah. Typical legislation from them. So overall, everybody is losing out when we talk about the majority of the population. And just looking at the, you know, the dynamic of Trump supporters who have no real benefit and are getting policy that is actually against their interests, who are so, you know, behind this dude, at a certain point it's astonishing. But if you look at American history, it's kind of reflective. Whenever there's been a huge step forward as far as black progression or even the look of black progression, there's always a reaction to it, and this was the reaction to it. But this is a global phenomenon in the sense that whiteness right now is being rolled back. People who've grown up and identified as white aren't getting the benefits of being white, and right now they are reacting. We saw it with Brexit. We're seeing it in France, Germany. And these people are getting online in all of these other countries and supporting whatever right-wing group is out there and making it look like they have more constituents than they do. So you say one thing on Twitter and, you know, 50 MAGA supporters start, you know, saying things to you on it, and it looks like, wow, dang, they got a lot of support here. But then you see the election results, low turnout, really close election. It's not like they have this overwhelming little group. So Trump just has a small firewall that he has to keep in play. So the fake news thing that he throws out there, that keeps them in their bubble. They can keep feeding them bad information that they can swallow and say everything else is fake. So
now, don't you think ultimately, though, if you keep embellishing on certain things like that as well, it's going to blow up in your face?
Yeah, see, that's the difficulty of populism. When you run as a populist and you get those people behind you emotionally like that, there comes a point where there's a red line that you cross and those people turn on you. And then you have nothing else, and you kind of become a demagogue. So he's walking a tightrope, and he's trying to figure it out. But the thing is, he's so undisciplined, irrational, and emotional that the things that he does, he can't pull them back. So the accusation against Obama on Twitter, for one, that's not presidential. For two, it's not smart. For three, it's not strategic. If you actually had the goods, why would you throw it out there on Twitter? He should have used that politically if it was true. Now it's coming out that looks like it's not true. He didn't know what the hell he was talking about. And I bet y'all whatever. If we put a piece of legislation in front of that dude, could he actually read it and interpret it to us?
And understand it.
He's not a politician. He's a game show host.
And it speaks to the civic engagement and lack of education in America right now. If my car breaks down and there's a mechanic that's been hustling me for money, the answer isn't to say, man, I'm sick of these mechanics. You know what? I'm going to go over here and get this janitor to work on my car. No, the answer is to find a better mechanic. So this idea that, he's not a politician, that's not a strength. That's a weakness, as we're seeing play out right now.
Exactly.
So,
And now
I'm just watching.
Okay.
So I'm just watching this. I'm wondering what's going to happen in 2018. And these people who are so, you know, openly for this guy, when he rolls back their health care, when the jobs don't come back that he promised, and they have to deal with their own lives, I wonder what their reaction is going to be.
Be very interesting to see, though. I got another call on the line, though. 214 area code, though. Who are you talking to? Hello? They lost it. I'm sorry. But that was fast, though. But, okay. Well, hopefully they'll call back, though. But really, you made a real good point, though. The idea that, you know, when you do the populist thing, you know, you could keep feeding them this and feed them that and feed them in this information as well like that, then they go for it as well, though. And then all of a sudden it gets to a point where that where you cross that line and they turn on you, though. That happened to Hitler big time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where, like, this whole situation, this whole campaign spun out of control, and before you know it, though, hey, you know, it was all over but the shouting. But you know, it gets to that point, though. But where do we, you know, and like, I mean, I'm still trying to get, you know, the understanding of why. I mean, I know where the lunacy is. I know what the craziness is about. I just want to say exactly, like, what is it about these Trump supporters, particularly the ones of color, that, you know, what made them think that this was a good idea? That's what I'm driving at. What made them think that was a good idea that I should go that route?
Yeah, black Trump supporters are their own specific thing, man. It's like they knew all these things about Hillary, so that turned them off to the Dems. My reaction would have been say, okay, go third party or protest vote, anything like that. But you don't vote for somebody who's openly against you and rallying people behind the hatred of your people. So, you know, the promise of jobs, I guess, gets people to sell many a soul. And I'm looking at most black Trump supporters like, hell, at least Ben Carson got a high government paying gig for selling his soul. What did you get?
Exactly. Exactly.
You know who I kind of miss? You know, wow. Yeah, he sold his soul for real. I mean, he sold more than his soul. You know, but you know, Ben Carson, that's a whole nother can of worms. Real, I don't even want to get into it. We'll be here for another hour behind Ben Carson.
Exactly.
I don't think Ben Carson sold his soul. I just don't believe that he has. He can't relate.
He can't relate to
African
American. Not being, yeah,
right.
Not being black. Though.
Being
he's
black.
About, he's about to ban.
Being
he's about to ban and nothing. Share David parking.
I mean,
there's something really intoxicating about being the only one within a certain space and being treated as you're the special one because you see all of the greatness over here and the rest of your people don't see it. And you start getting celebrated and petted, and before you know it, you start believing that stuff. And we can go outside of Uncle Tomism and you look at Michelle Malkin, Asian woman, conservative, who actually went out and said, well, you know, internment camps were good. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you can get somebody to say that, or you can get, you know, Carson to say slaves were volunteers, or, you know, you know, get somebody to that point.
Immigrants were slaves.
That's how he put it. Sorry, that's how he put it.
I said, he's correct, thank you. He's an idiot, too. So it's ridiculous.
Right. But once that ego starts getting puffed up by those people, you know, you're going to have to keep stepping it up and stepping it up. Okay, those ridiculous comments aren't enough anymore. That didn't raise your eyebrows. I got some more ridiculous comments next week. So we'll see more of that and more of that and more of that from Carson.
Keep feeding it to the bubble burst. So
you're a medical professional? Okay, I'm going to put you in charge of HUD. Like, that slap in the face already should have showed him, like, what they think of him. And, I mean, that goes to anybody because once you're a traitor, the side you traded to doesn't believe you either. So, I mean, that's...
Yeah, I mean, but then again, like, you know, you could tell, you know, Ben Carson, I mean, come on now. You could tell doing a campaign trail, though. He wasn't a full deck. He didn't have the box to put the deck in.
Yeah, but how does that happen, though? How does this highly specialized medical professional all of a sudden become that, though? That's the weirdest part about it.
Exactly.
You know. It's almost like TMZ, the weirder the better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's starting to, seem like as well, though. The more outlandish, the more attention it gets. You know, it's almost like, you know, you're watching like a reality show again. But this time, it's politics involved. And it's a whole world of things behind it as well, though. Because think about it, though. When Trump got elected, nobody could believe it outside of the Republican base. Nobody could, though. Nobody here, nobody abroad, nobody could believe it. Because there was no way in the world he could – everybody's saying there was no way in the world he could possibly actually win, though. And all of a sudden, he won. I think even he was shocked. I won. You know, yeah, here we go.
Yeah, and I don't know what that is about Americans, though, to where we put these two things on equal levels, because that's weird. Because, yeah, what you're saying is absolutely correct. But when a reality show person you like loses, you say, oh, I won't see them on the show next week. When you put somebody unqualified at the head of HUD, people's lives change. Their housing options change. People actually end up staying in places that they wouldn't have normally. You talk about education, access to health, and everything else. Like, you affect people's lives. And you're putting somebody there who hasn't done it or doesn't even know it. Like,
anything about it.
Dangerous.
Once again,
but yeah,
he
man.
Has full confidence in the idea that they can do the job, though. But you, this man can't even, I mean, really, I mean, he can do the job. He can't even actually really, like, command the full sentence without actually going off on the deep end and talking about who's being hunted by the devil.
I don't even know how people get the confidence to go to head something that they don't understand or know well. Like, if somebody wanted me to change their engine, I mean, even if they offered a lot of money, I'm not going to flex and say, hey, look, man, you know, I watched a YouTube video, I think I could pull it up. Like, no, man, I don't know how to do that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I don't know, but...
You know.
But thanks for letting me on, man. I appreciate it. Y'all got a good show.
Well,
I guess kick back and listen.
All right. Appreciate it, Nas. No problem. I want to get this next caller, though. Erica 214. Hey, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hello. All right, hey, how are you doing?
Hello. I'm doing quite all right. How are you?
I'm good. I'm
you're
all right.
Good.
Okay, so...
You sound
so any contributions to tonight's topic?
You can't understand me. I might be an immigrant.
You might be a what?
Hello. An
Hello?
Immigrant.
Okay.
Hello.
Well, yeah,
Hello.
No. Go ahead. Go ahead. I mean, I can understand. Go ahead. Say what you're gonna say.
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I have no idea.
Right,
but I want to... May I say something?
Yeah,
what
yeah,
I want to say, I think everybody is somebody's bitch. I think we all are somebody's bitches. And I think we all can love each other. That's all. Period. And I think I'm from Europe, and I have ancestors have been kings and queens and slaves and everything, and everybody, I don't know, it's all about love at the end of the day.
Yeah,
what
do
you
true.
Think
yeah.
about that? What do you think about
well, I mean,
love? What do you think about spreading positivity about things? How
yeah, we can actually do that as well, though. Yeah, I don't have a problem with the idea of like, talking about love and spreading positivity as well, though. I mean, I'm a big advocate when it comes to being positive. The problem is, though, we have a governmental
that.
System right now run by individuals that aren't trying to be about that, like, at all.
Government assistance?
Yeah, the governmental system is really not too positive right now. It wasn't even positive when they were on the campaign trail.
Well, you know, I think we should give them a chance because, you know, we haven't given them a chance. I don't think we haven't given them a chance.
Okay, well.
Well, have they proven any, for the 45 days they've been in office, have they proved to you that we should give them a chance? Have they done anything that's been positive in your eyes?
Absolutely.
Okay, what have they done?
Well, first of all, let me tell you something. Nothing can be done from a president. I'm going to tell you something. What can be done is from your own something. You have to make a change within yourself. You have to help your neighbors. Have you helped your neighbor? Have you given your neighbor $100? Have you helped your neighbor pick up the trash if they are elderly? Or have you done anything to anyone? That's my question. Change comes from within, and no Americans have done that. And some Americans have done that. And that's, you know, I'm sick and tired to listen to bullshit. I'm sick and tired. And I'm sick and tired to hear about slavery. I'm sick and tired to hear about complaints, because slavery has been in every history, in everywhere. Everybody has been abused, you know, and that's wonderful that, I mean, I don't know what to say about that.
Yeah, that would be the correct statement. You don't know what to say. If you don't know a country's history and you come in as an outsider trying to catch up, it would be best served to read and learn about these things. So, no, I mean, I listened. I just want to correct you real quick. First, you said every country, every people has been through slavery, which would be correct. But every people hasn't been through chattel slavery. Chattel slavery. I'm almost finished talking. Ma'am, just hold on a second. Show us the love you just talked about by listening. Now, chattel slavery is a whole different story. Chattel slavery said you are a slave because of your genealogy, and your progeny will be slaves because of their genealogy. And then we moved into Jim Crow, Reconstruction, Red Line, and everything else.
Hold up.
Who is this?
I'm sorry. Let me. Oh, this was Nas. I was just trying to correct that person who called, I guess, trolling or just ignorant. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I just wanted to hear what you said.
Hold up. Let me say something to you really quick. It's because everybody has suffered, not just black people. I don't know who I'm speaking to. I know this is not Michael Henderson. And what is your name, sir?
Nas.
So everyone has suffered, Jews, Irish. The problem is that when it comes to America, they tend to forget. Okay, we're talking about someone that's an immigrant, and she's saying to you, can we all love one another? We, as a black race, don't even love ourselves because we hate, we even, if you're dark skinned, you know, light skin against dark skin, house nigga against the, you know, the yard nigga. So let's be real, Nas.
Okay, you finished talking? Because I want to respond to that.
Okay, exactly.
I'm a co-host on this show. So who are you?
Okay, I just asked if I could respond to that.
Yeah, you can respond to that, but don't attack another guest on the show. We're listening to what you have to say, and then we have a immigrant here that's trying to tell you her side of the story. So don't attack anybody. No one's attacking you. It's a matter of opinion and a matter of perception on how you see things when you come to this country. So you were born here. We're talking about somebody that came from overseas that may have struggled while they were overseas. And as they came here, they found a freedom that they didn't enjoy.
She's making reference to something.
Whenever you finish, I'm ready to respond.
Well, you know what I'm saying? Go right ahead, Nas.
Hold on, Nas, 1 second. But the point was, I think, was been made, was that she's making reference to something that she absolutely has no clue about. That's the argument.
I mean, the argument is the love,
and we can all kumbaya, but that's not realistic. We're talking about a man running a country that affects all of us and all our races. You know what
I'm saying? We understand that. We're talking about also immigrants that are being shut down at the borders, too. And all she's trying to let you know.
Love and kumbaya. That's not the issue.
What she's saying is that why can't we all just come together? Because we've had this discussion before.
Because that sounds great in theory, but it's not straight in reality.
It's not. But why can't we do that? Because no one is going to sit up and do all that.
We have too much rhetoric.
Okay. Hello. Let me chime in for a minute, okay? Now, based upon what she actually said, though, she did make a real good point, okay? And when it comes to the idea of actually about change, it does have to come from within as well, though. But going back to the subject now, okay? Because we kind of lost track there for a minute as well, though. Number one, I don't mind the idea of actually like people who actually deal with when it comes to the idea of crosstalk and all this stuff as well, though. But attacking a guest, that's another thing. Number two is. It's even getting to the point where it starts getting heated right here, though. I gotta step in. Okay. The bottom line is,
I mean,
when it came to the idea of what we were
talking about,
that she did. Yeah, it is a matter of opinion, though. And I'm going to allow everybody else to have their opinion when it comes there as well, though. But there comes a point where, you know, we do have to kind of want to actually, like, say things about it, a couple of things, especially when it gets out of hand. Okay? And I got to start refereeing somewhere along the line, though. Now, everybody actually has their opinion when it comes to all this deal as well, though. And everybody has their particular grievances and everything else as well, though. And everybody can be upset about, like, you know, everybody's take on any and everything, though, but it's still everybody's opinion when it comes to that, okay? Still everybody's opinion, though. Everybody's opinion is valid as far as I'm concerned because that's how they feel. And I'm going to understand that, well, you know, whether it be good, bad, or indifferent. That make sense?
Okay, Nas, what were you about to say?
Yeah, just to respond, it wasn't about an attack on that person. It was about an attack on the opinion and the ideas. So it's about an intellectual conversation saying, does what you say hold weight? Does it hold up under investigation? And the answer would be no. Now, if I move to Germany next week and I walked the streets for a while, stayed in a hotel for a couple of weeks, and then I went to the German people and started telling them about what they needed to do to fix their society and what's going on historically and how they need to change things, someone would say, okay, where are you from? How long have you studied Germany? What do you know about Germany? And if my answer was, well, I've been here a few weeks. Yeah, my opinion is not the same as somebody who's actually studied it, who actually knows it, and it should be treated as such. That was the point I was making. So when somebody says everybody who has been through slavery, as a human condition, yeah, one part of the process, yes. But chattel slavery is a unique thing to black people in the Caribbean and the Americas and that we suffered through based on genealogy, meaning you were a slave because of your blackness and your child would be a slave because of their blackness. Slavery before was a social condition. You could get out of it. You could have a family. Your son wouldn't be a slave just because you were. That's what we were talking about. So when people try to blur those lines and make those things equal, I try to correct it because that's just what the actual fact of history is. And when we get into this thing where we do feel-good history or if people tell you I'm speaking my truth, no, I don't want to hear your truth. I want to hear the truth. What are the facts? What actually happened? And after that, we can all sort it out.
Okay. All right. Now, back to the subject at hand real quick, though, because we're looking at around 7 minutes, though, before we have to run up and let this thing go. Bottom line is, I do believe straight up that, you know, that people don't want to actually support who they want to support.
You know, well, I'm pretty unfair. There you go.
People are going to want to actually support who they want to support regardless. Okay? And regardless of, like, if there's any scrutiny behind it, if there's any, like, screwing, anything's messed up, anything's crazy as far as I'm concerned, they will still hold true to those beliefs and those values regardless. Now, people of color, we don't know if they actually thought that there was, like, something in it for them, if they thought it was a better deal than what the opposing side actually had going on as well, though, or they just simply did not like that individual, though, and decided not to, because there is a bottom line fact, and it's part of human nature. You're going to vote for whoever you're going to vote for. You're going to support whoever you're going to support. It's like going to the movies. Some people might want to go see the Avengers. Other people might want to go see Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It just depends. So it just totally depends on that. Everybody's going to have their opinion. I mean, that was actually proven right here on this show just right now, though. Everybody's got a different opinion. Everybody has a different belief in whatever. And most people hold to those beliefs. They truly do. They hold true to those beliefs and the convictions, and that in itself speaks volumes. Regardless of how anybody else feels about it, though, they will still hold on to that because that's what you believe in. That's what you believe in. That's what you're sticking to, and that's the way it is. And nothing other than you is going to be the thing that actually changes that. Now, can we agree to that one?
Yeah. I mean, all I would say is when somebody says 2 + 2 = 5, I don't have to accept that as a valid opinion. That's what I'm saying.
No. Yeah, you don't. You don't exactly, though. And you know, the same deal as well, though. You believe 2 + 2 = 4. Somebody comes along and says 2 + 2 = 5. You're not going to go for it, but you don't believe it.
You are very much entitled to your opinion, and my opinion may be different than your opinion. At the end of the day, I've traveled all over, so I have friends of all different races, so I understand their point of view, and they have suffered just as much. We don't. A lot of times, what happens is that we only see what we see that affects us as a culture or as a race. You know, so. Which is going on right now.
Can I ask you which group suffered just as much?
Okay.
Jewish
we're turning
people?
This to another show.
Jews?
Okay. Hey. We're turning this to another show. Okay.
The Jews didn't suffer? People in Benghazi?
Yes, they did.
We're turning this into another show. Okay.
Just
all
right.
Hello.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm about to wind up cranking up another show behind this one. And it can happen just as fast, because that's how this show happens. Anyway.
But this show was my suggestion. I need for you to get a Donald Trump supporter. Not a, you know.
I can bring y'all two black Donald Trump supporters for the next one if y'all need them.
So
I'll get them for you.
I'm just keeping it real. I want to hear some black people that. Yeah, I want to hear from these black supporters.
I'm gonna find some Trump supporters. Matter of fact, I might even ask you to
network
for two
of them,
because
so I definitely want to hear from them.
Okay.
I want them to talk to me. I want to understand. I want some clarity.
I mean, here we go.
Yeah, the two gentlemen I'm talking about, they were conservatives to begin with, so they just kind of had to suffer Trump for what he is, so they've accepted him, but they had conservative values before then. So we disagree on certain things, but I still respect their opinions and, you know, where they come from.
Right.
So my whole thing is I'm not condemning white people with what I said or Republicans. I'm talking about this particular milieu we're in right now where we have this guy who's clearly unqualified. That's what I was talking about.
Yeah.
Right.
And that right now is the consensus is going across the board in Washington right now, though. I'm talking about from the Dems all the way to Republicans, conservatives, and liberals alike. Everybody's looking at the same thing right now, though. They're in the looking glass right now, though, and all they can see is that this dude is out of control. So how is it going to wind up actually ending by the end of this week or next week or like that is anybody's guess, though. But don't think for a minute, though, that the idea of impeachment is not in the crosshairs, because trust me, it is. So with that being said, though, we're gonna wrap everything up. We're wrapping things up right here because I'm at the community part. So there you go.
Thank you, Nas, for your opinion.
Okay,
thank you.
Appreciate Nas, man. Come on, yeah, baby.
All right, Nas.
Indeed. Separate the opinions from factual information. That's all I said.
Okay.
All right, though.
Have a good night.
Okay, you know what,
y'all
Nas?
Too.
I'm gonna give you one dinner, though. The next show is gonna be about facts versus fiction, and you a guest.
Exactly.
Thank you, sir. I will be here, and I'm gonna bring the Republican Trumpers with me. So let's do it.
All right. Okay.
Thank you.
All right, y'all.
That being said, take care. Okay. So now here we are. Definitely crosshairs about 90 seconds. So now I got to do this real fast. Okay. I'd like to thank everybody that actually listened, everybody that called and chimed in tonight. I'd like to thank my lovely co-hosts, Vanessa and Crystal. Thank you very much, ladies. I'd like to thank Nod for coming on and bringing the thunder once again. So I want everybody now to actually have a good rest of the week, great weekend, and join us back here next Tuesday here for the Mike Condition Show and Blog Talk Radio. And like my man Deadpool says, cue the music.